Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also stream us on your smart speakers. Just ask it to play WILK News Radio, and it'll bring you to us live. Also, get us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show or iHeartRadio platforms. Now has Odyssey stations, including the Rob O'Donnell Show and WILK News Radio. I want to thank our show sponsor today, Whitman Lawn Care. Breathe new life into your lawn. Call Whitman Lawn Care today and let your lawn thrive from the ground up. Visit them at WhitmanLawnCare.com today. And I appreciate their sponsorship here for the show. It is 410, 79 degrees. We do have storms moving through our area, so drive carefully out there. There will be some pooling water, some heavy downpours at times. It's going to lighten up and the sun's going to come out again. There's going to be another wave of storms later, but that's just what we're dealing with this time of the year, right? End of summer, beginning of fall. Not quite yet fall, but almost there. But the official end of summer with Labor Day weekend. So, Representative Nancy Mace, who was at a closed-door meeting with some of the Jeffrey Epstein victims, ended up having to leave that meeting in a full panic breakdown, anxiety, tears, crying. And there's video of her leaving that meeting. She could not talk to anyone, should not talk to the press, just out of there. And if you don't know a lot about Representative Nancy Mace, she is a sexual assault survivor and victim herself. So she does take this very, very seriously. And obviously, the stories that she heard during that closed-door meeting affected her greatly. I know Representative Nancy Mace. I did reach out to her, but because of the delicacy of this subject and how much it impacted her, I was kind of just more how she felt about it. I wanted to try to get her on to talk about it, but also use a little bit of humanity here and not worry about the radio show or publicity and stuff like that. But if she wanted to use the platform, she was able to, and I just wanted to let her know that, but I completely understand. And she knows my background as a detective and working special victims cases and working homicide cases and such like that. So regardless, because Congress is in session, she was unable to join us either way. But again, it was – I left it totally up to her if understanding the delicacy of this here. But she said publicly now that she wants Prince Andrew in handcuffs after that. And what they're saying is the meeting gave her a full-blown panic attack. And again, if you look into Representative Nancy Mace's history, this is very personal to her. But she has since called for Prince Andrew to be put in handcuffs just days after she tearfully stormed out of the House Oversight Committee closed-door meeting with the Jeffrey Epstein victims. Now seems like a good time – and this is a quote – now seems like a good time to discuss prosecuting Prince Andrew for any and all potential crimes on U.S. soil. Now, she posted that on X late yesterday. A cold, dark cell, Prince Andrew in handcuffs sends the right message. It's exactly what she posted. Now, Prince Andrew has long been plagued by allegations. He sexually abused one of Epstein's most high-profile accusers, Virginia Roberts Giffrey, when she was 17. The disgraced British royal, who paid Giffrey an undisclosed sum in 2022 to settle a civil lawsuit, has always denied the claims. Seems like the right next step after we release the files, Mace wrote in a follow-up tweet regarding her call to prosecute him. Perhaps we can focus on prosecuting predators next. Let victims, survivors, and the country heal. Guffrey died by suicide in April at her home in Australia. Mace, meanwhile, had been among those pushing for the release of the so-called Epstein files, despite President Trump dismissing any possible new information as a hoax. Everything's been out there. Everything's been released. Everything's been in either the Joe Biden administration Department of Justice or the Donald Trump Department of Justice. And there's no information there. The South Carolina Republican, who's previously shared her own experience as a victim of sexual assault, was spotted visibly upset, leaving the House Oversight Committee meeting with the Epstein victims this week, claiming their horror stories gave her a full-blown panic attack. As recent survivor, not 2 years in, I had a very difficult time listening to their stories. Full-blown panic attack, sweating, hyperventilating, shaking, I can't breathe. She later posted on X as she addressed why she left the meeting early. I feel an immense pain on how hard the victims are fighting for themselves because we know absolutely no one will fight for us. God bless all survivors. Now, she's been an advocate of sexual assault survivors. She's not been shy of sharing about her own experiences when it comes to abuse. And I applaud her for that. It's a very personal, it's a very traumatizing thing to rehash. But she's in a position, and she realizes that she's in a position where she can help victims of sexual assault. And she plans on using that. Now, if you agree with her politics or not, and I don't expect you to, or should you, either agree or don't agree, but the trauma that she's been through, I think we can all agree, gives her a unique perspective on looking at this case. And listen, I'm all for releasing everything and anything there absolutely is. Again, I don't think there's going to be anything earth-shattering. I think the files in their whole capacity, even though we haven't seen them, have been in the viewpoints of multiple administrations, multiple Justice Departments. And I don't think there's any smoking gun to where they'll be able to point fingers and such. And in cases like this, even with Representative Nancy Mace's statements that Prince Andrew should be behind bars, the victim in this case has since deceased. She committed suicide. So any prosecution will be extremely difficult unless there is solid circumstantial evidence that could be corroborated firsthand by other individuals. There's not much that's going to be done here, regardless of what anybody says. And the dangers here is at this stage in the game, anyone could say anything they want. And that's what people want. That's what the press wants. That's what a lot of the public wants. That's what either side politically wants. They just want names named. Because in this day and age, that's all they need. There is no standard of evidence. There is no standard of proof. They don't care if it can be proven or not. All they care about is if it's said. And that's a dangerous slope here. That's a dangerous slope, especially when things are said that can neither be proven nor disproven. If the release of everything in its full context is what it takes to do that, are we throwing victims' rights out the door? Because there are other victims in these files that don't want their identity released, that don't want their things. So are we redacting those things? Are we putting it out there? It's not as simple as like just make all the files public. There is a lot to be said here for victims' rights as well. And that's why you also have victim rights advocacy groups that are fighting against releasing a lot of the documents. You have victims that don't want things released. And you have the victims that do want more because there is that what else is left. Is there more to the story? Of course, there's always more to the story. Is it something that could be proven in a court of law at this stage in the game? That would be highly unlikely, but not impossible. And the back and forth of release it, don't release it, we want it released, we don't want it released, it's almost like Lackawanna County politics to where they don't want something, then they want it again. Because you've had both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, argue both ways for this. They didn't want things released, they didn't want things rehashed and reopened, now they wanted them. Now Republicans, some of them don't want things released because they said there's nothing new out there. The courts have even come out. The judge who reviewed the files and said that there's nothing new here. There's nothing that the public already doesn't know in these files that haven't been released, so there's no point to release them. It would just damage other victims. And that's coming from a judge that reviewed what was asked to be released. This is one of those things that I don't think anyone will ever be completely satisfied with. They could release everything they have tomorrow, and there would still be conspiracy theories that say, well, this isn't all the files. This doesn't say it all. There's stuff that was taken, destroyed, missing. It'll always be that way. So, sort of like 9/11, unfortunately. You know, the conspiracy theories. And it's comical when they reach out to me with these conspiracy theories. And actually, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Representative Greene, has been one that have said about conspiracy theories with 9/11. And I sat down with her many years ago, probably 5-6 years ago now. I sat down with her in Washington and discussed her conspiracy theories with 9/11 and explained to her what I saw with my own eyes. And what she's saying is just ridiculous on its face value, because I can explain to you how the other buildings burned and why they burned and how they got doused in gasoline, jet fuel, jet fuel. This is one of those things that's just no one's ever going to be happy with. This is another JFK file. It's another Martin Luther King Jr. file. It's another 9/11 conspiracy. It's another, the Epstein files. It's just not going to go away, because no one is ever going to be completely satisfied. Even if you opened up the books and says, there, read everything. It's not going to be there. The people who were most open about wanting to see all the files, that would be Kash Patel. That would be Dan Bongino. They have access to these files now, and you don't hear a peep from them. And they were the most accusatory that there was more there. And now they're saying there's not. So you got to take that for what it's worth as well. And you've just had these files in too many different hands, too many different administrations for it to be of any political value. So what's the angle? What's the goal in getting it released? You had a judge review the files that they want released, that they say aren't released yet. And the judge said, there's nothing in these files that the public doesn't already know. So there's no reason to release them further. But again, this is one of those stories that just will never go away, because no one will ever be completely satisfied because of the situation it was, because of the circumstances, because of the deaths, because of just the case itself. It's that ongoing soap opera drama type thing that just won't go away. I guess we'll see. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 427, 74 degrees. Well, a Wilkes-Barre firefighter rally for a retiree with job-related cancer. Last May, the city of Wilkes-Barre fire inspector developed a persistent cough and some other medical difficulties. By mid-July, Michael Crawford, a husband and father of 12, was diagnosed with late-stage throat cancer. His wife, Jessica, said in a phone interview this week, Michael, 52, submitted his retirement papers on the day of his diagnosis and has been undergoing chemotherapy treatments. City Firefighters Union, International Association of Firefighters Local 104, is running an online throat cancer awareness T-shirt sale to raise funds for the family. Fire Chief Jay Delaney said he informed his staff, who are usually required to wear uniform shirts at work, that they will be permitted to wear the T-shirts there through the month of October. Good for you, Chief. Michael was an exemplary firefighter, EMT, and fire inspector, and more importantly, he's an amazing father, Delaney said. I think it's only appropriate that we let our actions speak louder than words and go the extra mile to show support for him. Jessica, who currently works as a firefighter EMT for the city, said the family is grateful for the support, but more importantly, she said, is spreading the word that firefighters have a 62% increased risk of contracting esophageal cancer than the general public and a 39% greater risk of dying from it, according to the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Hazards. He finally had a CAT scan in mid-July, and by that point, the tumor was massive. He has stage 4 cancer. There's nothing that he's eligible for other than chemotherapy. Jessica said most esophageal cancer victims learn they had the disease after experiencing symptoms such as cough, sore throat, and difficulty swallowing. They talk about the screening and treatment for the disease. I will be putting a link up on my social media for this t-shirt so you can help support this hero in our area. Here's a father, a family man. Now, Jessica, his wife, has pleaded that the Wilkes-Barre Fire Department be hosting throat cancer screenings in the near future. It will capture any precancerous cells that they'll be on to give you a heads up so that you can go and get it checked out. And it should be regularly screened in our firefighters throughout our region, throughout the nation. It should, no doubt. Thanks to our participation in 9/11, it's screenings that I get pretty regularly and a lot of people, first responders from 9/11, get. But it should be standard operating procedure for our firefighters across the nation that they do get screened for this regularly because, as it shows, 62% greater chance of getting it. And with his family, Jessica said it's a little tricky engaging with their children who range from age 6 to 24 about their father's cancer. In the beginning, we just kind of kept it very simple, especially with the younger ones. We didn't use cancer as a word. We just kind of wanted to get them used to the fact that Dad needed to keep going to the doctors, and we didn't have all the answers up front. They knew he wasn't feeling well, Jessica said. She tries to involve the children who still live at home in their father's care if they're comfortable with it. One day I asked if anybody wanted to see where the intravenous port was. It's up by his shoulder, and my little six-year-old, she's taking after me, I think, with the medical stuff. She was right there. She wanted to hand me the alcohol wipes. She wanted me to hand me everything, Jessica said. I told them if they ever had any questions, I would answer them. I'm not going to lie to them, but if they want to know something, I'm going to give it to them. We can help this individual. And hopefully this little six-year-old girl goes on to pursue the medical career. Hopefully she becomes a nurse. It could be something like this. I remember when my dad was battling cancer, he had a portacath in his shoulder as well, right above his chest on his shoulder, to where that's where they would plug the chemo port into. And
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, my son was very young and my daughter was just born. My daughter, who's now a nurse, so she obviously didn't have any take. We only got one picture with my daughter and my dad, and he was already jaundiced at that time and, on his way to a better life. So I know he can see her now, and hopefully we can rally around this Wilkes-Barre firefighter in our community and get one of these shirts. So I'm going to post a link to this on my social media, see if we can support this hero from our area, because that's exactly what this entire family is, heroes. It's 4:32 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. It is 4:38, 70 degrees. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home in law enforcement who made the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty. Usually we recognize, though, throughout the Commonwealth, but thankfully today there are none to list in the Commonwealth. I do want to get back to the Wilkes-Barre City Fire Department Union International Association of Firefighters Local 104 fundraiser. They're running for one of their own who is suffering from throat cancer, and they have an awareness T-shirt that they're using to raise funds for the family. The individual has 12 or 14 children? Let me go back to the story here. 12 children. He's the father of 12. Married. His wife is also an EMT firefighter with the Wilkes-Barre City Firefighter EMT and with the fire department, Jessica. So I just put the link to the T-shirt, and they have men's shirts, women's shirts, T-shirts, different colors, youth T-shirts, long-sleeve T-shirts. I want you to go to my Facebook page, and I don't often – I tell you about my Facebook page, but I don't often tell you to go there. I want you to go to my Facebook page, Rob O'Donnell on Facebook, and I want you to share this fundraiser for this Wilkes-Barre City Fire Department member. I want you to share it so your friends and family can see it, and I want you to buy yourself a T-shirt and wear it proudly. If you're, I'm sure donations could be made to Firefighter Local 104 for this family as well. But the least you can do is get one of these T-shirts. And if you're involved in city government anywhere, see if you can get standardized testing for throat cancer for your firemen, for your EMTs, for the people who are doing these jobs day in and day out to help protect them. But all I'm going to ask you to do here, and it's not for me, it's for one of our heroes here locally, is share the post for the Wilkes-Barre Bureau of Fire, their online store. They have multiple T-shirts for this fundraiser for this family. Get yourself a T-shirt. And again, they have really nice women V-neck, you know, shorter sleeves, men's T-shirts, youth T-shirts, long sleeve, short sleeve, gray, navy blue. I'd like you to share it and then get yourself a T-shirt. I'm going to order mine as soon as I get off the air today and get one for my wife as well. It's the least we can do to support. And our best goes out to Michael, who is one of our local heroes, no doubt. And we're going to be along with Michael as long as I can here to do what we can to bring awareness and bring support to his family. So, I appreciate it. I've already been reached out to members for just talking about it this little time. So let's come together as a community. Let's come together as Northeast Pennsylvania. We did it once before for our area for a Scranton firefighter. We could do it again for one of our heroes here in Wilkes-Barre who's having this battle. And I say it time and time again, no hero walks alone. So you're not going to walk alone through this, Michael. And we're going to see what we can do to support you and your family. And if the least I can do is get myself and my wife a T-shirt to support the cause and represent Wilkes-Barre Bureau of Fire. It is 4:41 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? So let's look at a snapshot for today, September 4th in U.S. history. We got some highlighting the founding of Los Angeles, 1781. Spanish settlers led by Governor Felipe de Neve established what would become Los Angeles, now a major global city and cultural hub, also a crime hub. 1886, Geronimo surrenders. Apache leader Geronimo surrendered to U.S. forces, bringing an end to his long resistance and symbolizing the close of frontier conflicts in the American Southwest. 1888, wow, 1888. Kodak camera was patented. Inventor George Eastman received a patent for the roll film Kodak camera, revolutionizing photography by making it accessible to everyday people. 1888? That's incredible. 1949, the Peekskill riots. Over 140 people were injured in Peekskill, New York, when anti-communist mob attacked attendees leaving the Paul Robeson concert, an incident emblematic of Cold War tensions and racial strife. I wonder if the riots had anything to do with the Facts of Life school up there. Huh? Isn't that where they went, the Peak School? Facts of Life? Anybody remember that? Come on. Where were you people? It was a little before Jake's time, right, the Facts of Life?
I remember it, though.
Yeah, Blair and the rest of them, Joe and Tootie, Mrs. What was her name? Mrs. Oh, now that's going to bother me. I can't remember the headmaster, The name. I'll figure it out. We'll get back to the Today in History because that had nothing to do with the Peekskill riots. 1951, the first live transcontinental TV broadcast. President Harry S. Truman delivered a speech from the Japanese Peace Treaty Conference in San Francisco, a landmark moment for live television broadcasting across the United States. That was 1951. 1957, Little Rock integration crisis. Governor Orville Faubus deployed the Arkansas National Guard to block 9 black students from entering the previously segregated Central High School, escalating the pivotal civil rights confrontation. 1972, Mark Spitz Olympic record. At the Munich Olympics, U.S. swimmer Mark Spitz won his 7th gold medal, setting a long-standing record for a single Olympics. 1972, the debut of The Price is Right, the iconic game show premiere on CBS and would go on to becoming the longest-running game show in U.S. history. 1974, diplomatic ties with East Germany. The United States formally established diplomatic relations with East Germany, enhancing Cold War-era international engagement. 1998, most of us can say we're older than Google. 1998, Google is founded. Stanford PhD students Larry Page and Sergey Brin launched Google as a research project, ushering in a new era of search and information access. 2016, Mother Teresa was canonized. Pope Francis canonized Mother Teresa for her devout service to the poor and marginalized, honoring her legacy on this date. 2018, huh? That sounds like an eternity ago. I guess we're coming on almost 10 years, right? 2018, Kavanaugh confirmation hearings begin. The U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee commenced hearing for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, prompting intense and polarized national debate. It was Mrs. Garrett. That's who it was, Mrs. Garrett. Somebody probably texted me that, but I wasn't on the text message. There you go. Her name was Mrs. Garrett. You take a good look at the bad and the good and take them all, and there you have the facts of life. There you – no, Mrs. Drummond. No, that was – Mr. Drummond was the other show. What was it? The two kids that were adopted by the rich guy. He was Mr. Drummond. Forget the name of that show now too. I got a bunch of text messages. Garrett, Mrs. Garrett, Garrett. Mrs. Drummond. No, Mrs. Drummond. Yep, Mrs. Garrett was the facts of life. What was the show? Different Strokes. That's it was with the little guy and the – don't call him a little guy. He got mad when you called him a little guy. But he was a little guy. That was why he had the show, right? Oh, look at that. See, everybody's on tune here. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 responses on the text message line from Mrs. Garrett. See, we're going to go all to – what is that, 70s and 80s TV nostalgia? I love MeTV. Do you guys get MeTV at home on your cable channel? I just found out my cable company switched. I got a big booklet in the mail. My cable company went from Adams Cable to Blue Ridge Cable, just like that. And I guess it's true because they sent me a whole package saying, you're now Blue Ridge Cable, and these are all the things we offer. Somehow in there, I think it's going to cost me more money. And I don't use pretty much any of it except the internet. I have that internet phone that I don't even answer. Matter of fact, there's not even a phone hooked up. There is a phone hooked up to it, but we have the ringer off. That's it. Now I got two responses for Different Strokes. So we're a little behind here. Takes people a little bit to get. Now I got 3 responses for Different Strokes. See? We're going to get into that now. You know what I got back into watching recently on – I'm a big – I don't like anything that's really on TV today. I started watching The West Wing again. And I really liked The West Wing when it was actually on. And now I'm watching reruns of The West Wing. And I think we'd all be better people if we watched reruns of The West Wing. I just think it was a good series. I think it showed our government in a decent light and how both sides can work together. Some of the actors I'm not crazy about and, you know, their own personal politics. But the show The West Wing, I think it ran for a bunch of seasons. It's actually a very good – I watched it pretty regularly when it was running – at its time, and now I got back into the reruns of it. So no, I don't need a clip of Different Strokes or I'm looking to see what's going on here. Thanks for all the text messages. Blue Ridge Cable bought Adams Cable in January. Well, Blue Ridge Cable just notified me that they bought it in January, and it's September. So we just got the thing in the mail yesterday. So I guess they're a little behind in notifying the customers. But we'll see. I always liked Adams Cable, and we'll see what Blue Ridge does. It's 4:53 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, it's 4:55 here at WILK, and as I promised, we're going to start to do a feel-good story every day before the 5 o'clock hour, and here's our feel-good story today. A heroic bystander disarms a gun-wielding brute during a wild brawl at a packed Alaska State Fair. This is just an incredible story. A selfless bystander prevented an out-of-control brawl at a packed Alaska State Fair from turning deadly when he swooped in and quickly disarmed a brute who pulled out a gun. Without a second thought, Jaden Perry, 24, inserted himself into a fight Monday the moment he saw one of the eight hooligans brandish a gun. In all the chaos, Perry wasn't thinking about his own safety, but the swaths of young families still passing through the fairgrounds. The first thought that went through my head were there were kids everywhere, Perry told local news outlet KTUU. I didn't think much during it, but afterwards I'm glad I did. I would do it again every time. Last thing anyone needs is to bury their child, take their kid to the hospital, or even a parent. They were everywhere. The tail end of the fight was captured on a viral video, which shows Perry wrestling the gun away from the ruffian. Many, included the fair organizers, hailed Perry as a hero. The Alaska Fair commends the civilian for his actions to assist CMS in disarming the individual. His actions were heroic, said Melissa Keffi, Alaska State Fair Director of Marketing and Communications, in a statement by the outlet. In addition, the actions of several unarmed CMS staff who took action to de-escalate the physical altercation taking place simultaneously during the incident should be commended. In the wild video, Perry and several fair staffers ran over to the brawl to rip the foul-mouthed fighters apart. While several of these involved were caught slipping and sliding in the rain-soaked pavement, one young man pulled out a handgun and tried to cock it, according to the video. Perry grabbed the man by his arms to prevent him from firing, while others pushed the irate troublemakers away. Let it go, one man could be heard shouting. Stop fighting, another one ordered. Some of the vindictive brawlers, still intent on having their battle, tried to body slam their pacifiers, but to no avail. People need to be aware that when things go wrong at any minute, no matter where you are, it's not okay for that to happen at all. That should not have happened in the first place, but people do need to be aware that these things do happen, Perry told the outlet. We're in an age where it's common, and it saddens me. It does. No matter what kind of gun control or gun laws are put out there, criminals are going to do criminal things. This will happen. It's unclear if any of the men involved in the fight were arrested or what sparked the dispute at first place, but thankfully, this Good Samaritan civilian who was there saw something and grabbed the gun and put himself at risk, stopped any further carnage from possibly taking place. So again, Jaden Perry, 24, is our feel-good story of the day at an Alaska State Fair. It's what you need. He said there were families and kids everywhere, and he wasn't going to tolerate it. Good for him, and good for Good Samaritans like him in this nation. We're coming up on the 5 o'clock hour here on WILK News Radio. Again, we want to thank our show sponsors, Whitman Lawn Care. You can check them out at whitmanlawncare.com, as well as Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. You could check them out at monkhvac.com. We're going to tell you a little bit more about them. I am so stoked to have them installing my units in my house, especially, you might think summer's over. You don't need air conditioning now. Well, don't be so sure, first of all. Second of all, those cool mornings can use that heat pump. So I'm looking forward to it. We got plenty more for you in the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show. Stick around for us. We're going to have the news. Yeah, I know, the ABC news break. We'll have our own Paul Michaels with some news, traffic, and everything else. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.